is Radio Free Asgard.
Hello, everybody out there, and this is indeed Radio Free Asgard, episode number 106, to be precise. This is Tom Harrison, Chicago, Illinois. Welcome to the Only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. And I am back from my little mini vacation. Yeah, I took a week off, folks, and as it came closer, as I was preparing for the trip, I realized there was just no way I was going to have time to record a show, at least not a good show. But before taking off, so just decided to let it go. It really is true what they say. Once you've missed the 1 week, like I missed the week after episode number 99, it does become easier to skip weeks if you have something going on, because you're not worried about having a perfect record anymore. It's already been blown, hasn't it? So anyway, I hope you guys didn't miss me too much. And I am back now. And of course, we'd be back to our regularly scheduled podcasts. Anyway, so Wisconsin, yeah, really nice state, Wisconsin. Of course, absolutely beautiful, especially the western central part, which has a lot of hills and mountains. And I guess you can call them mountains. I don't know. It's as close to mountains as Wisconsin gets. Very big hills, though, I would definitely say. And you have like the Kickapoo River up there and the Wildcat Mountain State Park, which is my favorite state park in Wisconsin. Great little area there for hiking and just kind of being outside in nature. Had some rain while I was up there, but you know, that was okay because it kept the mosquitoes away. Well, until the rain stopped anyway. And then, of course, the mosquitoes were gnats were everywhere and the ticks and that sort of thing. But I saw a great deal of wildlife and so forth up there. So it was really, really a nice trip. I did travel quite extensively within the state. In fact, I was in every county in Wisconsin, most of the major large towns, though I did try to avoid the larger cities like Wausau, Milwaukee. You know, the larger cities in Wisconsin, I didn't really stay. I stayed in Eau Claire for a day, and I also stayed in Madison for a day. But other than that, I tried to kind of avoid the major metropolitan centers and stayed in the smaller towns. Went through the national forests up there. There's a whole bunch of them. Well, I think they're kind of all the same national forest, but it's such a wide area and it's not contiguous. So you have little bits of it here and there kind of scattered around. But most of the northern part of Wisconsin are national forests and Native American reservations. So that means you can go to casinos up there, folks. Yeah, I didn't go to any casinos, but that is the sort of area that it is. And there are a lot of casinos up in Wisconsin. So if you ever go to Wisconsin, buy some cheese, go to a casino, see baby deer, see badgers, see moose and bear. I didn't see any mooses or bears, but that was probably my one regret of nature that I didn't see. But I did see a lot of wildlife, and it was very, very cool. All right, so as promised, we are going to be jumping ahead now and coming back to revisit a territory where we haven't been for a while. In fact, it's been like 20 episodes. So it's almost 6 months, folks, since we've been in Thor Volume 2. So we're going back to the 90s here, and we are going to start covering this next storyline here, featuring, of course, Thor and Hercules and Zeus and a bunch of other people. So that's going to be really exciting. And then we'll see where we go from there. Probably get caught up on Thor, God of Thunder, at that point. All right, so without any further ado, let's move on to our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
So as promised this week, we are covering Thor, Volume 2, Number 5, a.k.a. Thor Number 507. Has a cover date of November of 1998, retailed for $1.99 U.S. That's $2.70 in Canada. Cover art is by Johnny Romita Jr. and shows Thor looking aghast at his hammer, which something weird is happening to. And in the background, you see this weird glowing purple sort of face thing lurking around in the background. Very dramatic cover there of Thor being aghast. And we open up the book and we see it is morning in New York City. And we see various people who are waking up and starting their day. We have Mr. Fantastic and The Thing. And it looks like Doctor Strange. And some person we don't know who has like Avengers and Thor and Captain America posters on his wall. And they are being woken up by this obnoxious shock jock sort of New York City radio show. I'm kind of picturing this guy as sort of a cross between like Mancow Mueller and Rush Limbaugh and Howard Stern and just sort of this unpleasant mix of these various characteristics. But anyway, all these people are listening to the show as they start their day. And we have the announcer, who I imagine is not very much like George Takei. Like, good morning, New York. You are listening to the highest rated morning show ever produced, broadcast throughout the world, the galaxies, and the time stream itself, featuring the single greatest talent who ever spoke into a microphone, undisputed ingenious wit and intellect. Listen up, people. You are about to be graced by the dulcet tones and unparalleled insight of Chucky Diamond. That's enough, Jimmy. This is my show, and today I want to talk about a true outrage, a sham perpetuated on us all, a fraud by the name of the Mighty Thor, the so-called God of Thunder. And we see the various heroes are waking up, and the Thing is like, I'm going to kill that mother for setting my alarm like this. And Doctor Strange is like, insufferable bore, which of course is why he's listening to it in the shower. And this guy we don't know is just kind of slipping his clothes on. And we have a beautiful like double page splash here of Thor leaping through the sunny sky of New York City. And of course we have the credits here. Dan Jurgens was the writer. Johnny Romita Jr. was the penciler. Klaus Janson was the inker. Gregory Wright did the colors. Richard Starkings of Comicraft was the letterer. Tom Brevoort was the editor. And Bob Harris was the editor-in-chief. And Thor's out enjoying this nice morning. He says, by Odin's beard, ne'er have mine eyes beheld a more wondrous morning of beauty. And, and of course, Chucky Diamond's continuing. Yeah, you heard me right, people. I'm talking about Thor. You've heard all about him, America. The guy calls himself a god. And you have the engineers commenting here. Uh-oh, Chucky's hot this morning. This is going to be way better than that slam he put on Clinton last week. Yeah, Bill Clinton, who was the president back then. They say he's some immortal guy. Talk about a load of junk, a scam. Because this guy, half the loading docks in town are still out of commission. Okay, and that's a reference back to the first couple of issues of the series where Thor had this big, huge battle down by the docks. If you remember back that far, go back and listen to episodes number 80 and 81, where we covered the first few issues of this run. But you remember Thor fought the Destroyer down at the docks in New York City. I'll go back here. Talk about a load of junk, a scam. Because of this guy, half the loading docks in town are still out of commission. Remember why? Remember how him and his Avengers buddies took on the Destroyer and turned the waterfront into Dresden? I don't know about you, but I doubt a god behaves that way. Take Captain America. Totally legit since World War II. But Thor? Some kind of Fabio wannabe who says he's from Olympus? It's bogus, friends. A con job. Lucky for you, the Chuckster is here to set you straight. And this guy is just kind of a receding hairline, and he's got a beard, and he's kind of a little bit overweight, and it looks like your typical radio DJ type of person. Think about it for a minute, people. The pier gets trashed, and how does Goldilocks end it? By transporting the Destroyer away. Why didn't he do that in the first place? And there's a guy driving a car yelling at the radio, because the Destroyer had already started a war and wasn't about to stand still and let him, you moron. Thor and the Avengers had to pound on him first. And we see Thor landing in an alleyway and wrapping his hammer on the ground to transform, of course, back into not Dr. Don Blake. Nope. Remember, Jake Olsen. Anyway, he's like, again, the time has come to pay the eternal debt to which I be committed by assuming a mortal guise barely known to me. I must needs find a secluded alley, for the burden of the dual life I now deal with is the business of Thor and Thor alone. 'Tis still a schedule most cumbersome to which I adhere, but such is the life of a paramedic. And now by striking my enchanted hammer upon the ground, I am instantly transported into the mortal form of Jake Olsen, emergency medical technician, and generally confused human being. And he's obviously changed into Jake Olsen, and he is leaving this alleyway having transformed. And he's at a fire station, looks like, from the look of it. And walks out onto the street. Probably as to be expected, how many other people spend half their times as a god and the other half as, huh? And he notices an annoyingly familiar figure in front of the local hospital, which I guess is where he's based as a paramedic. And as thinking to himself, verily, it would seem a coincidence most opportune. 'Tis none other than the beauteous Jane Foster, she who once captivated the heart of Donald Blake, my previous human alter ego. Still does Thor have feelings of fondness for her. And he comes up to her and he's like, "Milady Jane, pardon me? What did you say, mister?" And he's thinking to himself, Heimdall's eyes. Whilst my thoughts normally manifest themselves in the cadence of mortal man, at times the excitement, 'tis Thor's voice which is heard. "Jake Olsen, doctor, we met in emergency a few times."
"I thought I heard. Oh, never mind. How are you, Mr. Olsen?"
"Jake, please. No reason to be formal." And he's thinking to himself, "'Tis most pressing strange, and welcome to see a familiar face, a rarity now that Asgard stands deserted." Yeah, I remember Asgard, something mysterious happened and everybody's missing, and Odin is in bondage, being held by those evil gods, and we'll get to more of that, I believe, next issue. And the two of them enter the hospital together, and Thor's thinking to himself, or rather, Jake is thinking to himself, "Had I the freedom to do so, I would tell her of recent developments, that I might share the confidence of a good and trusted friend."
"You seem preoccupied, Jake. Something on your mind?"
"'Tis Marnot who insisted I not speak of this, but none save Odin dares command the god of thunder. Should Thor wish to reveal the truth, 'tis Thor's right to do so. Jane, there's something important I need to tell you."
"I am all ears."
"You remember the big fight between Thor and the Destroyer a couple weeks ago? I know this is crazy, but..." And they're interrupted by a doctor. And we recognize this is Jane Foster's husband, the Dr. Kincaid, Keith Kincaid, I believe. And he's like,
"Jane, about time you struggled in, sweetheart. I've been up all night taking care of a transplant patient."
"One minute, Keith. Jake has something to say."
And Jake is thinking to himself, "Keith Kincaid? Alas, I had forgotten Jane didst wed. Verily, the time for confidences is over, for despite troubles in the past, her marriage now seems secure."
Yes, obviously, as soon as you get married, you're unable to keep a confidence. That's the way it works in the real world, folks.
"Nothing. Time to run for the docks. See ya."
"Well, that was odd."
"Added to the list. Seems there have been some problems in the ER pharmacy with missing drugs. Could be that we have a thief in our midst, hon."
And then, of course, we have Hannah entering the room. Now, Hannah, if you remember, is Jake Olsen's girlfriend. So she also works at the hospital, and she's kind of entering the scene.
"My ears are burning over here. What's up?"
"Morning, Hannah. More pharmacy ripoffs."
"Any suspects, Janie?"
"None, but you're our computer whiz. Any chance you could run a check and come up with a few suspects?"
Because computers work that way. You just you write a catch the criminal program and it comes and it tells you who's stealing the drugs. Only in comics, folks, and perhaps bad TV shows.
"It'll take some time, but I love a good mystery."
And we hear the radio guy coming in from the background.
"If I'd been on those docks, my attack dog attorney would sue Thor for every cent he's worth. Maybe even..."
And she clicks the radio off. Hannah does.
"I cannot stand that obtuse loudmouth. Thor may or may not be what he claims, but he nails the bad guys."
"Oh my."
And they have an announcement over the loudspeaker.
"Dr. DePalis, report to ER stat."
And Hannah says...
"Speaking of bad guys, let's see who's been in the pharmacy for the last 6 months."
And we cut back to the radio announcer guy. And he's got the cigar like Limbaugh, but he's got the long hair like Stern. So it's kind of a hodgepodge of different people kind of melded into a bad character. And he's still talking here.
Because if you ask me, real heroes don't watch while millions of dollars worth of property is destroyed. Real heroes are the guys without powers, people. Policemen, firemen, paramedics, talk show hosts. Guys who suit up and brave danger for you and me and deal with the truth.
And there's an alarm. And it looks like Jake is getting into the ambulance. And of course, you have his partner, Demetrius, here. Or Demetrius, really. And he's like, what have we got, Demetrius?
Heart attack, Jaco. Let's roll.
So the two of them are speeding towards the emergency call, and Jake is like, the call's logged. ETA 7 minutes. And of course, the radio is still going because that's the thread of this entire issue. And this Chucky Diamond guy is still talking here. Says,
it's easy for a guy who can lift a truck and fly to act the hero. I mean, what does he have to worry about? How hard can it be when he can't really be hurt?
And we have this guy, the stranger. Remember the guy with the Avengers posters and stuff? He is heading towards the station as well. And he's riding in this van called the Federated American Express. So I guess he's a FedEx driver. And they have the radio on in the truck. And the guy's like, frankly, if it was me, I'd play linebacker for the Jets and cash in big time.
And this guy's like, you're going to cash in big, all right, Chucky. Real big.
And we shift back to the ambulance where Thor and Demetrius are going towards wherever they're going. And the radio's still going.
Speaking of money, you'd think they live like you and me, struggling to pay the bills. Thor, Hawkeye, they're probably all taking their share under the table.
Jake's like, what a jerk. And Demetrius is like, since when? You love Chucky Diamond.
Except for Cap. He's so straight, he's got to be on the up end.
And Jake turns the radio off and he's like, not anymore. And the ambulance arrives on a scene. It looks like a residential building. And there's a bunch of cop cars there with their lights on. So this, of course, is the radio station where Chucky Diamond is broadcasting from, as they explained earlier. And, of course, it happens that Mr. FedEx is heading there, too, though for very different reasons. We have the FedEx guy who's from earlier. Of course, he says fax on the back of his shirt. And there's a secretary on the phone taking a call, and she's like, yes, sir, Mr. Jameson. I'll definitely tell Chucky how much you enjoy his show. And the FedEx guy's like, package for Chucky Diamond, his signature only.
No one gets past me, sweets. I'll sign.
And we have this overweight guy laying in the middle of the floor, and Demetrius and Jake are working on him. There's cops around, and looks like he's had a heart attack or something. And the radio show is still going on in the background.
For all we know, this whole hero thing is rigged. Maybe Thor boy slips the bad guy's money to fall like tomato cans.
And the cops are like,
listen to that lizard give anybody a heart attack.
And Jake is saying, let's make sure that's what we're dealing with.
You can make a book on it, Jake. He's got all the signs. Okay, he's hooked up for the hospital.
And Jane is on the other end of the radio, and she's like, she's asking for details about the guy's condition. And the radio operator is like, heart attack. Olsen and Collins are intending. And she's like, Jake Olsen? And Jake is examining the patient, and he's like,
you know, Dee, this might not be a heart attack.
Jake, the man's not breathing. He's got no pulse and he's turning blue. What else could it be?
And, of course, the radio is still going on in the background.
See, the cape types hide from us. They have secrets.
And the FedEx guy has pushed his way past the secretary. So this is kind of all going on at the same time, which is, it makes it confusing when you're actually like reading it on the show. And she's like,
hey, I said you can't go back in there.
Doctors, surgeons, the paramedic who saves your life when you've been in an accident. Man, they can hold your heart in their hands and fix it. That's heroism the guys in tights can't conceive of.
And we're back to Jake and Demetrius. He's like,
Dee, this man can't breathe because he has an obstruction, some kind of trauma to his larynx. It's a heart attack. We've seen it 100 times. Dr. Foster says to stabilize him and transport immediately. No, he'll never make it. I'm going to perform a cricothyrotomy. Cut him and insert a tube so he can breathe. And he rips open this sort of a gauze thing. And Demetrius is like, what? You can't. You're not licensed. And Jane is listening on the other end and she's horrified by this.
Collins, you tell Olson he is forbidden from performing a procedure EMTs aren't taught. Most doctors and surgeons haven't even done a crick.
Demetrius is like, Jane, Doc Foster says, don't worry, Demetrius. Tell her I learned to do this from one of the best ever, Dr. Donald Blake. And she's like, Donald?
Oh, it doesn't matter. Stop him, Demetrius, or I'll see to it that he loses his license forever.
And Jake has pulled out this, the scalpel. Like, I don't know. Did they carry scalpels with them? I guess that doesn't make a lot of sense, but I guess, I don't know, for cutting clothes off and stuff, maybe they guess they do. So anyway, he's got this knife and it looks really sharp. And he's like, Jake, we got to transport this patient and let the ER docs handle it. It'll be too late. I, and he gives old Thor coming out of him there, I say thee nay. And Jane is like, what did he say? And Jake is like, hold him down, Demetrius. I'm cutting. And Demetrius is like, oh my. And the people are watching. Is like,
is this the right thing to do?
If it isn't, you got yourself a heck of a lawsuit, Mrs. Spallari.
And Demetrius is like, well,
I was right. There is an obstruction. It isn't a heart attack. Just have to get him breathing tube a little in further. There, he'll live. From here on in, everything's easy.
And at that moment, the FedEx guy comes bursting into the studio. Of course, we have shifted scenes. And he has a gun in his hand. He's like, Diamond! And the people are like, kick, get him out of here. And he's pulling a gun on the DJ. And they're like, somebody call 911.
You're a traitor, a friend of Loki and the Absorbing Man and the other creeps who attack our protectors. And for that, you should pay.
And the DJ's like, what kind of freak are you? And we shift back to Olsen and Collins here, and they're putting the patient in the ambulance.
Foster says you better be prepared to cough up some answers, Jaco.
Just what I need, an inquisition.
And the police are now distracted because they heard about the hostage situation. And Jake's like, hostage? Where?
WYNX. Hope he don't end up needing you two.
Handle this one solo. I'm going downtown.
What? You weren't dispatched to.
Get back here, Jake!
And Jake goes running off, leaving Demetrius to deal with this patient all by himself. This is horrible. Anyway, so he goes running away, and he's thinking to himself,
sadly, friend Demetrius, there be no other way. 'Twould seem the reputation of Jake Olson must needs suffer, whilst innocent life stands threatened by those who are evil of heart.
And he takes his fist and he pretends to ram his hammer on the ground. And he changes with a fashash into Thor. And he goes flying off. And he's kind of swooshing away. And he's like,
'Tis not a practitioner of the medical arts this matter requires, but a warrior born who would fight on a hostage's behalf ere harm might be done. Let ring the siren of battle. And Thor, God of Thunder, shall answer.
And we shift back to the radio station where the DJ is being held with a gun to his head. He's like,
please, I didn't mean it. It's an act. It's a bit. Part of the image, you know.
The FedEx guy is like,
damage is already done, you pompous. You and your kind, you don't know the harm your filthy spewing does.
And all of a sudden the wall bursts in. And who should it be? Well, of course, it's Thor. He's like,
cease thy actions, base one. So commands Thor, so shall it be.
And it's kind of sheetrock flying everywhere.
Get thee back before the might and power of the Uru Mallet of the God of Thunder. Let Mjolnir do its work and return anon.
And he hurls his hammer and it knocks the gun out of the fax guy's hand with a katang. And the DJ's like, holy. He's like, Thor? And the hammer goes flying wildly around, which it
you know, it's not supposed to do. It's supposed to come right back to Thor's hand, pretty much. But it's going for the DJ guy. And Thor only manages to stop it just before it crushes this guy's head. And he's like, I bid thee halt. Never before hath Mjolnir failed to return on a course straight and true. Though I think we've seen before where it hasn't. Anyway. We have one panel of Demetrius getting back to the hospital with the patient. And Jane Foster's like, where's Olsen?
He took off, Dr. Foster. Said he had to help a cops on a hostage crisis.
And anyway, we're back in the radio station. And Thor is looking at his hammer. And sees something very strange happening. Like some sort of weird tentacly things coming out of his hammer. And the hammer has grown these red eyes that look all evil. And Thor is thinking, 'tis most passing strange. As though, eh? What manner of trickery? By the bristling beard of Odin! And it sees the weirdness on his hammer. And the FedEx guy's like,
Mr. Thor? Oh, wow. I mean, you gotta know. I mean, I gotta have to tell you. You're my idol, sir. And that sick freak Diamond, well, I was defending you.
And Thor's completely distracted by what's going on with his hammer. He's like, gone.
Did I truly see such as I thought? Or, babbling fool of a mortal,
and he kind of whirls around and grabs the guy by his shirt.
The son of Odin needs no protector, least of all one who wouldst act with violence.
Don't say that. I was trying to help you.
And kind of the SWAT team comes into the room.
Stand down, men. Looks like Goldilocks iced this situation.
And Thor kind of hurls the FedEx guy at the cops, and it's like, remove this coward from my sight, lawman. Thor despises a cur who wouldst do murder in his name.
No, please.
And the DJ is like, Thor, buddy, listen, dude. No chance you would have been listening to the radio this morning, is there? And there's a big crowd of people outside looking into the radio station. And they're like,
it's him. It's really him.
Look at those shoulders. If I could rent him for a weekend.
You suppose he signs autographs?
Guy's got to be at least 6'5".
Oh, he can't really be a god, can he?
Anyway, Thor's kind of this big hole in the wall, and Thor's whirling his hammer, getting ready to take off. And the DJ guy's trying to stop him here. He's like, because, you know, I was wondering if you'd cut us a promo tape. Like, whenst in the midst of battleth, Thor doth haveth his helmet radio tunedeth into the Chucky Diamond Show. What do you say, big guy? Don't be sore. It's showbiz. And Thor's trying to ignore him. And he's like, if doing so would end the threat of Ragnarok forever, still might I refuse to do so. And Chucky's like,
so Mr. Big Shot has an attitude. Well, you better stop spinning that mallet and listen to me, Hammer Boy.
And Thor's kind of created enough wind that it rips the toupee right off of Chucky Diamond's head. Now, what I don't get here is, why would you wear a toupee that makes it look like you're balding anyway? Because he's got this really, like really badly receding hairline with the toupee on, and that just doesn't make a lot of sense to me anyway. So, so the toupee goes flying off his head. He's like, ah! And the police are laughing at this. He's like,
check it out. A toupee for the man who likes to expose everyone is a fraud. Way to go, Thor!
An Avenger with a sense of humor. Who'd have thunk it?
And Thor goes taking off. And we shift scenes to Asgard. And it's, you know, remember Asgard was deserted and transformed. And now it looks all evil and sinister. And the buildings all look all spiky and all that. And it doesn't look like there's any trees. Of course, Thor probably killed all the trees. And we get a little bit of exposition here.
For eons, Asgard was the brightest of stars, its golden spires gleaming throughout the infinity of space. Now it is a city transformed, a place of rot, filth, and evil. Corridors that in the past echoed with tales of heroism, courage, and laughter, now reek of the darkest of thoughts.
And the room where wisdom and law were once voiced by binding decree is now stained with the abominable. We see the evil gods, remember, from the previous episodes are all kind of standing around.
The transformation is complete.
You've done well, Pericus, as the god of power and energy should.
And you, Avdar, are master of the Continuum Gateway. This new Asgard cannot be considered whole until you have brought her here.
The gate is open, Pericus. Watch as Magistan Zelia, keeper of the word, giver of law and life, joins us at last.
And this is big pink glow and a lot of red and pink Kirby crackle going on. It's actually a really, really nice page here. As Zelia, the evil goddess, steps through the doorway.
Let the cry of victory awaken the heavens. Let every god on every plane of existence know that forevermore, Asgard is mine.
And she's there in Asgard. And that is Thor number 5. And next issue, we get some Hercules action. All right, so I have to say, the artwork is pretty good in this issue. I like Johnny Romita Jr.'s art. I do like the way that he draws action sequences. That being said, I don't think this was all that great an issue. We have some really obvious attempts here to clue Jane Foster, who I admit is pretty dim. But you really get the sense here that Dan Jurgens really wants her to know Thor's identity. And Thor's not doing anything to try to hide his identity. I mean, he's just going like ridiculous lengths to actually expose his identity to Jane Foster without actually saying anything. Maybe that's the method to his madness, and we'll find out more about this in future issues. But it doesn't feel that way. It feels as though the story is just being heavy-handed. I don't know if that's really like Dan Jurgens. I seem to remember his work on Superman was a lot more nuanced than that. Though it is a 90s Marvel comic, and with that comes a certain amount of, I don't know, sledgehammering you over the head and various things like that. But anyway, the story, basically speaking, well, it's a little bit weak. Art, generally pretty good, but even then, there's some weak points in the art in this issue. There are not a lot of artists out there who draw action really, really well. And J.R. Jr. is one of them. He really does have a good sense of proportion. He has a good sense of structure. He has a good sense of layout. So you end up with these really nice layouts of pages. But just unfortunately, this wasn't a brilliant story. There's some cool stuff in here, though. Though the idea of this FedEx guy taking up a gun to shoot a DJ because he's smack-talking Thor, I don't know. Is that really a strong story moment? I don't know. I mean, what are they trying to say about talk radio? What are they trying to say about the First Amendment? I don't know. You know, is it that serious of an idea? Or are they just trying to put a shock jock in the story? Because back during this era, that's what people were talking about. They were talking about people like Rush Limbaugh. They were talking about people like Howard Stern. So I think that this was ultimately an unsuccessful attempt to be topical. Now, granted, it's still better than Chuck Churkle, but not by much. Now, the thing with the toupee, I have to say, this is such an overused cliche that I don't even probably even need to mention it. It's like every sitcom in the 1960s, from I Dream a Genie to the Beverly Hillbillies, you get some pompous guy, and the way they take him down a peg is at the end of the episode, they find out that he's wearing a toupee, and they rip the toupee off, and everybody laughs, and this is exactly what's going on in this issue. And as a late 90s comic, it kind of sucks. I have to say, this is not an original idea. Dan Jurgens could definitely do better than this. And as much as I hate to say it, I don't know if it really worked all that well. But, you know, pretty issue to look at least. I particularly like page 19. This is the page where Thor is actually leaving. I like the fact that J.R. Jr. is really good at drawing different people. Now, they do have this problem with all their noses looking the same. but by and large, he does draw a very diverse sort of cast of people standing around in the street. You go back to the 60s, you go back to the Lee Kirby days, there was no diversity in the group of people you were going to see on the street. They were all going to basically look the same. They were going to all look like middle-aged white men who wore
fedoras or they wore a police uniform. There was really not a lot of a variation. Occasionally you'd see a, you know, wealthy looking white woman. But here you have all kinds of people, and you can see like working class people and businessmen and street punks and all that. You see a lot of people just kind of hanging around. It's one of the things that I like about comics nowadays is that there is a lot more depiction of minorities and people who don't just look like the superheroes. And I guess that's one of the things I like. And of course, that has continued today. I mean, we don't have the sort of homogenous society in the comics that we used to have back then. Though certainly there's still work to be done. Anyway, I kind of gone off on a little tangent there, but that is Thor number 5. And yeah, it looks like this is going to be a bit of a short episode this week, folks. Well, anyway, thanks very, very much for listening. And I hope that you tune in next week. We will continue where we left off and move on to the next issue. Now, if you want to email the show, feel free to do so. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. And you can also contact the show on Facebook. Come join us there and the Radio Free Asgard Facebook group. All right. So, thanks very much for listening. This is Tom Harris, and you have been listening to Radio Free Asgard. We'll see you next week.